Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8:07. It's time for another edition of Ask the Governor.
Yes, it is.
As we welcome in the 89th Chief Executive of the great state of Connecticut, the Honorable Ned Lamont.
Ray, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Governor. How are you?
You're looking good.
Feeling good.
Before we get into the big issues of the day, how was your trip to D.C.?
Oh, that was fascinating. It's the Governors Association. About 40 governors were there. And it was capped off by a dinner at the White House, which was really the majesty of just walking in there. You got to practice your salutes on the way in. A lot of flags. The president and the first lady come into this beautiful ornamental dining room.
Yeah.
Everybody stands. They sit down. And then about a minute or two later, the president gets back up, goes to the microphone and goes, "Don't you hate small talk? Oh, it's warm in Florida, but it's a dry heat in Arizona. How horrible." So he says, "Look, I got one president, one vice president, 10 cabinet officials, and maybe 40 governors. Let's have a conversation." And that's sort of the way the guy is. Wow. He just let it rip for about half an hour until our Dover sole arrived.
Oh, see, I was going to ask you what's on the menu. Was it pretty nice?
Yeah, I think Annie chose the fish for me.
Okay.
Good job.
Oh, you get a choice?
She's the health conscious one.
You get a choice?
I think so.
Did you guys confer about that first or no?
I get no.
There's no vote.
None.
She's your keeper.
It's not a democracy in the Lamont household.
Yeah, okay.
That's for sure. Well, the governor's here to take your calls at 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. We'll get to the phones in a couple of minutes here. From everything we see in our brothers in the print media and the electronic media, it sounds like the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate seem to think that they have the votes to go ahead with passing the transportation package. Is that the message that they've conveyed to you?
That is the message they've conveyed. So they're going to vote on it next week. My hunch is the Republican plan to take money from the rainy day fund will also come up. So there are two choices on the table for legislators.
Yeah.
But they'll be voting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
You know, the one thing was, and Joe and I were talking about it earlier this morning, at one time, nobody wants to be first. So the Senate doesn't want to sign off, nor does the House. So they want to vote simultaneously. What do you think?
I think I should stay in my lane.
Okay.
The best plan we got to fix the roads without putting a lot of burden on our children and their children. And now you guys figure out how to vote.
Well, then
vote,
it sounds
let's get going.
Sounds to me like the rainy day fund, taking that away ain't the way to do it, I guess.
Well, I don't think it's the way to go. We haven't had a recession in 10 years, and that's what protects us in the case of the next recession. But that said, it's the other plan that's on the table, supported by many of the Republicans. So I think that'll come up for a vote as well.
Okay. It doesn't seem like there's been much movement between the two sides. The people who have been in favor of it are in favor of it. The people who have been opposed are opposed.
Can't change minds.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. They're opposed, but then what are they for? There's been a lot of question on that one.
Right.
I mean, I listened a little bit to the hearing the other day. It was sort of interesting. Nobody brought up prioritized progress, which was borrowing $700 million a year. That was one plan. Nobody really brought up the rainy day fund. But you're right. The people who are opposed. But our job is to get to yes somehow and how we're going to fix our roads and bridges. And I think we got the best plan.
It's called compromise. It can be done. It really can. You're learning this.
You maybe know we had a bigger plan before and we've compromised
in
a way.
But at least you get it done,
And we get something done. Let's get something done.
Baby steps, you know what I'm saying?
We've been putting this off for 30 years. Let's get something done.
If it's to pass this week, Governor, when could the process begin? Because you've got to put putting the gantries up to bid, deciding which ones go first, how you do this. In a perfect scenario, when would the tolls be up and operable?
So Department of Transportation will put together the request for proposals for one company to put up all the gantries. not one at a time, but on a simultaneous basis.
Okay.
In the meantime, Joe, what we can do under the Trump administration is we get money up front so we can get going. We don't have to wait for that first electronic gantry to be operable. That probably won't happen for a couple of years, the first gantry.
So it's probably not 2023. 23 would be like a 22 or 23 would be
I think that's about right.
Opt in place.
I think that's right.
Obviously, the transportation package has picked up most of, if not all, the publicity. But there are so many other items that we have talked about. And one that has picked up steam in recent days is the religious exemption for vaccines. That seems to be a very, very controversial topic. And it's going to be one that I think is going to, I don't want to say divide the state even more. But again, it seems to be an issue, Governor, where either you believe in that or you don't believe in that.
Yeah, passion's hot. Really mounting.
Well, I believe in the interest of public health. We want as many people vaccinated as we can. We got a briefing down there at the governor's thing on the coronavirus, and that is highly infectious. And what you see from other governors right now in terms of setting aside a hotel next to Newark Airport to quarantine people.
Jeez.
So I've got to make darn sure that here in this state, we do everything we can in the name of public health to protect our kids, especially when they're in school. So that's why I think we ought to make sure that there's only medical exemptions for when it comes to vaccinations.
Will that be hard to enforce?
No, I don't think that's going to be hard to enforce. It's not easy to pass because, as you point out, there's passions on both sides.
Yes.
My God, the government, what are they doing to us? But I think I've got to do a better job of making sure people know this is in the best interest of public health and your kids' safety.
All right, let's
get with fluoride.
Yeah, let's get to the phones. Let's go to line one. Mark in West Hartford, you're on with Governor Lamont.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Governor Lamont. Let's get right to it. So listen, the very foundation of trust between humans is what, right? Agreements, pledges, and, of course, promises. Do we agree upon that?
I think that's right, Mark.
Very foundation. So recently, a couple of weeks ago, I got a statement from your spokesman. It says the governor was not going to let a campaign promise get in the way of sound fiscal policy that protects all taxpayers, especially the middle class. Now, that statement alone leads me to believe that no matter what you say right now, you could change the game if you feel it's better for me down the road, tomorrow, next month, next year. I mean, you just got upset over a pledge of two submarines out of Washington, and it went down to one. It wasn't a promise. It was, I don't know where you came up with a pledge. So why the double standard? How come if Washington does the right thing for its taxpayers, you're upset? But when you change the game, you're doing it for the better. Why the double standard? How come you get to break a promise?
Okay, Mark, essay question.
Well, I hope we haven't broken any promises. I've tried my best to, stay true to what we campaigned on going forward. Maybe you're referring to the fact that we talked about cars and trucks tolling.
Right.
Now we're back to trucks only. And you're right. At one point, we thought that we could have a better, faster, more economically efficient transportation system. We did something bigger. The people didn't want to do it, so I pulled back. What you said on the submarines, though, is really unnerving for me because right now we're going to have two Virginia-class submarines a year for a number of years.
A lot of work.
And you know what we do? We have a workforce pipeline. We've been training people for that. They're laying out factory space and the such, ordering materials, ready to go. So when you go from two subs to one sub, that's incredibly disruptive to the production process and drives up costs. So I think that was not the right move.
Have you talked to Joe Courtney about it? Because that's his district. He's loving that.
I've talked to him, and believe me, he's talked to me.
Did he really?
860-522-WTIC.
We're seceding from the union. Look out.
860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. Before we get to Bob in Wallingford, John of Windsor, and from Windsor and our other callers, one of the other items, we had Dan Harf from Hearst on talking about it, was the sports gambling. It seems like that the tribes have not gone away from their stance that it's the type of gaming that they're supposed to be the ones who are in charge of.
It's our territory.
State Senator Kathy Austin seems like she's dug her heels in on this, that it should be the Mohegan and the Mashantucket's who run this. Sports Tech wants to get involved. The Connecticut Lottery wants to get involved. Where do you stand on all the other enterprises other than the tribes being involved in this? And have we made any progress in negotiating with them to try to broaden the horizon, to try to get this thing going?
Like, we're making good progress in those negotiations. But, Joe, this is, again, one of these things we've been discussing since for a decade. It's just extraordinary. Let's go. I mean, when it comes to transportation, when it comes to, you know, sports betting, when it comes to the hospital litigation, these things hang forever in this state. And I'm trying to move the ball. So, to your point, yeah, let's start with sports betting. That's something I think we can get some basic agreement around. All of our neighboring states are beginning to do that.
Right.
It's really important to our partners, the tribes, gets people back to the casinos. That's a place that you can start. And but to your broader point, yeah, there's some other players who would like an opportunity to
MGM's
do it as well.
MGM's another one. If I'll
and
suit.
MGM would probably bring another lawsuit that sticks everything back in the legal muck and nothing happens for the next 5 years unless we can find some basic agreement there. I think we're pretty close. It does take a little more compromise from everybody.
Because, you know, when you come in, we want to have a line as to what time you come in. The over-under is like 8:01 or something like that.
Actually, you beat it today.
I had 8:01 as the over-under. You were at like 7:59.
Yeah, so there you go.
Let's go to Bob.
You want to know one slightly interesting thing about the sports betting I didn't realize?
What?
Is it makes the loser teams of interest as well
to absolutely.
The bettors.
Oh, absolutely.
All of a sudden, you know, the Knicks haven't won a game in ages, but your bet is...
Yeah, well, there's
really
a million different ways you can do that. I mean, there's so many different bets and stuff. Let's go to line two. Bob's in Wallingford. Bob, you're on with Governor Lamont on WTIC.
Governor, how are you? I have an out-of-the-box idea that no one's been thinking about. Last year was the 400th anniversary of the first slaves arriving in Virginia. It was August 16th, 1619. How about we get a ball rolling, be the first state to have that date commemorated every year as a state holiday? I think that's a very important step, and I think it's something that'll help heal a lot of the divisions in this country. Then maybe if we do it on a state level, it'll start to get it done on a federal level.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
All right, thanks, Bob. It's an interesting theory.
I know he's a big fan of Karen Carpenter, actually, and I thought he wanted her birthday to be a state holiday. That's Postal Bob.
Oh, I'm not. I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with all the other callers to the rest of our fine.
No, but he used to hang around the doghouse when we did football.
When we were relevant with you.
Pre-game show, yeah.
Anyway, Bob, I prefer celebrating Lincoln's birthday like we did yesterday. I would not celebrate the day that we imported slaves.
Yeah, I would think
that's
that would
nothing
not be
to celebrate,
it's not
really.
A celebration. Let's go to John in Windsor on line three. John, you're on with Governor Lamont.
Looks like I have line four. Hang on, John.
Right, hold on, John.
There it is.
Line three. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, John.
Governor, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, John.
I've taken a look at our budget for the state, and this is a two-part question. I noticed in the budget that there's no mention of anything having to do with the landfills and the PFAS that is coming off of there at basically 85,000 gallons a day going into the Connecticut River, which is higher PFAS than Bradley. And I understand that DEEP has come up with a way through carbon filters to reduce the PFAS to levels that are acceptable. So I don't see it in the budget unless I miss something, and I'm thinking that this is a pretty important item since it's going into our river. And I was wondering if you might be able to shed some light on that.
Yeah, we do have additional monies in this budget in and around PFAS, the forever chemical. And basically what we're doing right now is a really aggressive testing to see where the PFAS is, where it might be at a dangerous level, see what the scale of the problem is. And I think they'll get back to us, in less than a year on that. In the meantime, we're trying to find better and faster ways to test so we can really see what those levels might be.
All right.
Sorry, John. We
lost you.
Bopped you a little. We know you have another question. Let's go to Windsor and hear from Jim. It's 8:21. It's Ask the Governor with Governor Lamont here on WTIC. Jim, you're on with the Governor.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Jim, are you there?
Hello, yes.
Are we on delay, Jim?
I just wanted to find out, we have to live within our means within our home budget. It seems like the state never wants to live within its means for their budget and come up with some cuts for the budget to make it work.
I'd say we had the smallest increase in spending the state has seen in a long time. We held the line on spending despite a... you know, $3.7 billion deficit we inherited. So we're working really hard. I've got this great guy named Josh Jabal. He runs administrative services. He is consolidating people. We've got saved 20% on technology, 20% on personnel, I meant. So we're really going to see some significant changes there. And we're really ready, you know, over the next 3-4 years, if we lose 25% of our folks to our retirements, who do we have to replace? Do we have to replace? What's the best way to get the job done? This is an opportunity for us to make the changes we need to now. So believe me, when it comes to spending, we're looking at it.
Okay. And, you know, some of these things you can't adjust right now. They're just mandated.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little like having a million-dollar house with a $2 million mortgage on it.
Exactly.
And then they say, why don't you just cut spending on the mortgage? Well, the mortgage is a mortgage. You got to you're kind of stuck with some fixed costs there.
It's a refrain we hear a lot, though, and you hear it too, Governor. It's not it's not news. The people always and we get a lot of callers on our other shows here about, well, how come we can't cut this packet program? How come we don't reduce spending here? When the budget chief looks at areas to cut, what are the parameters, the guidelines that you give him or her, the budget people, in order to look at things that maybe you can slice a little money from?
I think it's my coming out of the business world.
Right.
It's less about let's get rid of that line item. Let's not do CHRO. Let's take a 30% out of you know, the environmental protection. I think I'm going where the big money is. And right now, the biggest money is in healthcare. And I think that's going up fast. This is a radio, but my hands pointing
up.
Hands.
You're painting nice word pictures with your hands.
Trust us.
So one of the things we're really working hard right now is to find ways that we can deliver healthcare services for our state employees that save us well over $100 million in this next cycle, at the same time driving them to go to places where you get better solutions. It's incredible to me that you can get your knee replaced at one hospital,
absolutely,
at twice the price as you do at another hospital.
Exactly.
And then you all go, well, that's because the first hospital is more expensive, it must be better. No, there's no correlation between quality and how much you pay. So, Joe, it's a roundabout way of saying it's less about line items right now, more about how we reorganize people, get by with less people, perhaps more technology, and deal with some of those big buckets like healthcare spending.
From time to time, it's been brought up, really since I've been here in 92, kind of a public option. Is that still around? I thought I saw something on that a week or two ago. Somebody trying to do that? It'd be like a state-run healthcare plan?
That is something that's come out of the legislature on and off for 5 years or so. What I want to do is get to the underlying costs. And, you know, the public option and buy through a state employee plan. The state employee plan is pretty expensive right now. So, you know, that's probably not going to save the money we're looking for in the near term. But if I can drive people to the places where you get the best value, then I can open that up to small business so they can bring down their costs. Right. Legislature, in the meantime, is doing a good job of capping expenses on pharma, starting with insulin.
Yeah.
Hold the line there, cap that, and bring that down over time.
Well, let me say, as a card-carrying type 1 diabetic, the story that broke today about wanting to try to control that. But the problem with that is then you worry that the suppliers are going to charge us more. The premiums are going to go up. So that's a real issue. That's a real issue with that.
Rough.
You know?
And again, you talk to the fellow governors. You know, the California, they've got a bill out there. They're going to create their own generics. They're going to produce their own generics. Yeah. No more figuring out who you buy it from and cap the price.
Well, we got the people to do it.
So,
yeah, we could. 860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. Let's go to beautiful Winstead. And Dan. Dan, you're on with Governor Lamont.
Hi, good morning. I'm going to try to question I have expands upon what you, the last couple of questions are actually presented. Governor Lamont, is it true that the difference in the amount of revenue that you're seeking or the state is seeking in the totals is approximately 1% of the budget? And if so, you know, based on the fact that there's over 100,000 people, I believe, who signed a petition stating that they do not want tolls in this state, not to mention the number of people living in the state on a fixed income. Don't you think that it's really worth considering the looking at other areas to cut if it's simply that matter of cutting additional expenses?
Well, what? First of all, it's a trucks-only toll, as you know now. So tell those seniors on a fixed income, they won't be impacted by that, unless you're a truck driver. I guess there's
God bless you
that.
For doing it.
And frankly, look, it's about $200 million a year. And that $200 million a year, I can leverage with money from the Federal Department of Transportation and turn that into $1 billion, which we can use to fix broken down roads and bridges that we've been putting off for generations in this state. So I think it's the right thing to do.
I want to go back to that thing, the point you made about one, you know, you go to one ED and it's $2,000. You go to another place and it's $3,000. All right. You know, one of the things that I think President Trump has done, maybe he talked about it, was basically transparency in pricing. So like it's going, you're going into a repair shop, you know, they say, here's our price per hour to do what we do. Wouldn't that be nice if that was all out there public?
We urged them deliver on that. You know, a lot of promises made as Mark or somebody said early, but it's really important for them to deliver on that. And we've got our bill doing that the same thing. It's called the transparency bill.
Yes.
You're going to see exactly where you get the best value for the dollar. You'll see where CMS, the feds say, this is where the best procedures are done at the best price.
860-522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC. Mike in Torrington wants to talk about marijuana, but before we get Mike on, you came out with your bill yesterday, 108 pages, talking about a variety of topics concerning marijuana. When you put this together, well, before we get into that, talk a little bit about this Equity Commission.
Well, first of all, on the marijuana thing, we're going to do it slowly on a carefully regulated basis alongside Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and New York.
Right.
One of the things we're looking at is limiting the THC content, making sure the bad guys don't control the market and put a lot of poisons into this, making sure that advertising and gummy bears and all that crap that you may see out there, we're able to get controlled and regulate that. The idea of the Equity Commission, Joe, I think is the fact that some communities have been disproportionately hit by the war on drugs. And in particular, at least expunging people's records if they got hit up and arrested for low-level drug offenses. Mm-hmm. If and when this gets legalized, we ought to clear people's records on that and give them a second chance.
All right. Let's go to Torrington and Mike. Mike, you're on with Governor Lamont.
You're there, Mike.
Hey, how are you? Good morning, Governor.
Hey, Mike.
My question is, how are people supposed to gain experience if they're not even allowed to touch the plant? And, right now, the medical industry is obscenely reclusive. They haven't let another grower in 7 years. It seems like they closed the door. And I don't know with a system set up like that now, how you're going to let any minorities in with no money, felony records, usually with gun convictions. I think it's just going to be a closed door only for the wealthy white millionaires.
Hey, Mike, thanks for your call there. So,
why don't you take that one? Yeah. Look, I don't know where to go on that.
I know. Should it be? I don't know. I don't know where he's going with that.
I was a little confused myself. Yeah,
okay, let's take it this way.
Pfizer.
One of the debates people have is grow your own.
Yes.
And Massachusetts allows people to and have two plants or something like that.
Right.
And other people say, "Oh my God, how can you regulate THC content, regulate distribution at the same time? Anybody can do their own thing on a very limited basis at home."
Right.
And so when he says touch the plants, maybe that's what he's talking about.
He's an earth guy.
And by the bill would say that adults can have 1.5 ounces of cannabis, including any cannabis derived products, and that would be the max.
You know,
that'd be the max. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Otherwise, they're getting into the business.
Right.
This is something you touched on just a moment ago, kind of in passing. But you're right. I mean, you can smoke the stuff. Okay, you do that, but you can also ingest it. So basically you make marijuana brownies. How would I know? But they do. They make marijuana brownies, cookies, whatever. I was in Colorado, I know, about 2 years ago. And there they had it in food. The guy didn't know how much was in it. He died, because there was so much THC.
I think we got to be incredibly strict about that, especially the edibles, especially the gummies. And, you've seen what they've done on the vapes as they try and orient that with flavors and the such, bubble gum, oriented towards kids. Obviously, we've outlawed all that stuff for anybody under the age of 21, But you can outlaw things till you're blue in the face. You've got to come up with a regulated marketplace to make sure you get the black market out of this game.
When you talk to your colleagues in the other states, what's their biggest concern about the whole legalization process?
I think their biggest – well, the politics of it is tough. You know, it's a slippery slope, and first you're doing – then you're doing heroin, and, you know, then you go, well, actually, it's the legal drugs that are really the slippery slope, like opioids.
Right.
The enforcement issues, I think they feel pretty comfortable. They've got a handle on that. You can always pull people over for distracted driving and dangerous driving. You know, one of the things they point out is everybody says, hey, you can't test for people who are driving
I was just going to bring
marijuana.
That up. Thank you for that.
But, and they point out – we're bringing people over. They've got legal drugs. Maybe they got marijuana. They got alcohol. I mean, they've got a package of toxins in their system. And they know how to pull people over and deal with it.
8:33, you're listening to Ask the Governor with Governor Ned Lamont here on a Thursday with Ray and Joe on WTIC, News Talk 1080. Brian Shackman in for Will Moradi today at 9. Let's go back to the T word and Sharik from Hartford on line 2. Sharik, you're on with the governor.
Hi, good morning. How are you, Governor? How are you? I'm your supporter, and I always supported by calling Pastor Will's show for reasonable tolls. And this 12 Gantry is a reasonable toll. But my concern is this, other people's concerns, the money collected on the tolls is not diverted somewhere else. It should be it should be only for the transportation purposes. And I think so. That's a lot of people's concerns. That rightly so. Will you make sure the legislation comes out later on, guaranteed the money collected on tolls is always spent on transportation purposes only?
Yeah, great question, Sharik. And the answer is yes, by law. I mean, not only do we have the lockbox, which we've seen the vote on in this state every once in a while, but more importantly. These gantries, that money goes to pay for reconstruction of that bridge, roadway, whatever it might be. That is tied to the loan we get from the federal government. By law, that money has to go to pay off that loan. It may be a 35-year loan, and it can only go there. Otherwise, you're contrary to the law.
So right now, we're still talking about a number of bridges that would get tolls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but not just, you know, Route 9 heading south to Saybrook or something.
No, these are specific bridge-related construction projects, which we've been putting off for
decades. I think that's also federal, isn't it? Is that a federal requirement? In other words, you put the tolls up, the tolls have to go to whatever the project is, the bridge or whatever?
Where we are now, those are the federal requirements. That bridge. That money has to go to pay off that bridge.
Okay. See, and I think Sharik's concern is the one that we hear more than anybody
else.
That
all the time.
Because of things that have taken place before your administration, people are concerned that people are concerned that the money is not just going to go to transportation, that it's going to go to every other thing on the planet.
Because it does happen.
And I think that's the thing, to me, from listening to this endless discussion about tolls, is that's what people are concerned about.
I think I can see that.
Yeah.
You know, going back decades, you know, money has gone back and forth. I mean, if you're in education, they're tired of money being taken from the general fund to go to transportation.
Well,
if you're in transportation.
It started with the lottery. It was supposed to go to the education fund.
There you go. Case in point.
And it didn't. And
I think some of the Indian gaming was supposed to go to towns for relief.
Instead, our money's going to the Indians' pockets. So, all right, let's go to.
He's the editorialist.
Let's go to Eva in Enfield. I don't think we've ever taken a call from an Eva before. Eva, you're on with Governor Lamont.
Hello, Governor. Little Eva. I heard that. Thanks.
I love that.
Two-part question for you. It's regarding the announcement the other day about the program you have for college students out of Stanford. Apparently, there is 20 college students that used to go.
Hello.
For it, yada, yada. But these are all companies in Stanford. So my question is, how is it going to affect students in other parts of the state, like Eastern, Central, you know, that are not in the Stanford area? That means they would have to relocate. And I understand you're trying to keep college students in the state. And the other thing is, what are you doing to try to help prevent college students to accrue more debt?
Okay, Eva. Well,
thanks, Eva.
I don't want the best college students to accrue more debt, so I'll start with that.
Okay.
But the bigger question, Eva, is I'm doing everything I can to reduce the debt load and give students an incentive to stay in Connecticut. And we tried that a couple of ways. We've eliminated the tuition for any family earning up to $50,000 at UConn. We're moving to making community college debt-free for people for a period of time after high school graduation. And to your point, Eva, about some of those businesses, we got most of that. We're saying, hey, look, we're going to give you a little tax credit if you forgive a student loan. More importantly, go out there and forgive these student loans. It's the most important incentive you can do. So if you take a job at, Indeed or Charter or whatever is down there, you know, we're negotiating so they forgive your student loan. You know what that means?
What?
That means for students, it gives them incentive to stay here in Connecticut. And it gives their companies a little more of incentive to hire here in Connecticut.
Because that's been another real problem. It's been forever. Is the best and the brightest get the heck out of town. So once they graduate, you know, you don't see them anymore. So key is retaining some of these people. I guess that's an attempt to do that.
That is, Ray. And also, the best and the brightest come to the state of Connecticut to get an amazing education. And then they leave. So our job is to make sure we get there while they're still seniors, while they're thinking about their future. Maybe they got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. A lot of reasons why they want to stay. It's not quite as easy once they get out to San Francisco to get them back here.
Right. So or Boston, for that matter.
Or Boston, for that matter.
Well, they won't go to Boston now because the Red Sox are going to be a bad year. So let's go to Mike in Vernon on line 3. Mike, you're on WTIC with Governor Lamont. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Mike, you're on.
Good morning, Governor.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. So my question is, how much did you expect to bring in with the tolls only, for truck tolls only?
About a 200 gross, and we'll probably end up with about 180 after expenses.
Okay. Now, what's going to happen when that falls short of your expectation? And you're talking about being able to borrow that money before your tolls even go up.
I think of all the revenue streams I've got in the state, the one I feel probably most confident on is the tolling revenue.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. We know exactly how many trucks over the last 3 years have gone over that bridge. We know that there are more trucks on there as you got Amazon and other distribution facility. That's a growing load on our roads. So compared to the gasoline tax, which is slowly going down
and receipts, definitely.
Compared to income tax, which is like a relief map of the Rocky Mountains, more visual.
I like that. That's very good.
You did that very nicely.
You know, you'd be a good TV weather person because you got those moves down.
Yeah, where's the blue screen?
Exactly.
Well, we have one in here.
Yeah, we should get
one.
But,
you know, what was the one, Joe, that they were expecting? Oh, it was the bag tax. And, you know, it was going to be $27 million, turned out to be $7 million or $8 million. Is that a possibility here? But it sounds to me like you're saying, hey, trucks are trucks. They ain't going anywhere.
Trucks are trucks. We can count that pretty good. And by the way, that bag tax is pretty damn successful. What we wanted to do was get rid of plastic bags, which are jamming up the refuse flow and the such. Bad for the environment. It happened sooner than we thought.
But you have to admit, Governor, that the projection of how much money you were going to make from it was somewhat off.
Yeah, that's kind of what Mike you
thought. Yeah, but it's a good news. It was off because people moved away from plastic bags pretty fast.
Well, because I think everybody's surprised that people did that. That people would be creatures of habit and just keep using the plastic bags.
Yeah, I thought it would take them longer. You're right.
See, we can be fast in this. It's not the state of steady habits. Let's go out to Woodbury and talk to David.
That'd be line one.
David, you're on with Governor Lamont.
David, you're here. David. I'll see we're
good
on.
Good morning. Yep.
Go ahead, David. On with the governor.
Good morning. My name is David. I'm from Woodbury, and I am very interested in the conversation about the budget and the tolls. What has not been brought into the conversation, to the best of my knowledge, is that every toll fee that the trucks have to pay will be passed on to the consumers through the increased cost of goods and services. Every taxpayer will have to pay that. Every municipality, every school district and regional school district, all businesses, it will greatly increase the cost to the average consumer living in the state of Connecticut. And I'm already concerned about the dwindling middle class in the state of Connecticut. I know a lot of folks who are two-parent working families. They have no margin to
absorb increased costs. And so I'm concerned that this hasn't been brought into conversation. Could you comment on that, Governor?
Thanks, yeah, David.
No, thank you, David. Here's what you got to understand. Most of these trucks are coming in from out of state. Most of these trucks. Some of them have gone through six states on the way here. Each mm-hmm. and every one of them, they're paying tolls. They go over the George Washington Bridge, David.
Oh, dear God.
And they're paying probably $70, $100, something like that. So believe me, they are paying along the way. And you, as a consumer, maybe have a slight increase on that. So to me, it just seems reasonable that if we're paying all those other toll fees, they should contribute to our roads as well.
Well, and I think if I'm correct in remembering this particular bill, tolls on trucks, there are certain trucks that are exempt, right?
Exactly. Like smaller trucks. Smaller trucks, mid-sized trucks, the Connecticut trucks, they're exempt. These are really focused on the big tractor trailers. And again, most of them come in from out of state.
We see all the states around us with tolls. Why do you think people in our state are so reticent to have tolls be a revenue source?
You know, the governors around the country are sort of surprised by that because obviously it's in Republican as well as Democratic states. Other states are looking to raise the gasoline tax, Joe, Republican and Democrat. I thought that was a lousy idea. Maybe I should have done a better job of explaining it, but this is a land of steady habits, and it's easy to be opposed to things. You know, one of the things I've found, you know, just doing this job for about a year is there are 100 paths to no, and there's only one path to yes. And you really have to work hard to get all those different stakeholders, some of whom are a little grumpy, you know, on the same page.
Did you learn that from business? From your business? Is that what you learned? Like getting to yes, getting to no, all that stuff?
Yeah, but in business, it's usually one or two or three players.
Oh, now you've got eight people.
You have to deal with a lot more people.
But, my God, we just...
But the thing he brought up is like, I went up to New Hampshire, you know, live free or die. I think it was Winnipesaukee, something like that. They've got tolls. So, I mean, come on. That's live free or die state. I mean, I don't know why it's a big deal here. It is to me now just because I'm grumpy.
I want to move to Florida. Yeah, well, you rent a car. I can't get 100 feet outside of the Avis before I'm not paying my tolls.
No, they do. They nail it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Farmington. Oh, we're in Farmington. Here's Linda. Linda, you're on with Governor Lamont on WTIC.
Oh, thank you very much for taking my call. First of all, I'm a fan of tolls. Let's do the tolls. That's fine. Cost benefit analysis on the recreational marijuana. I mean, I'm concerned about that because I've been to other states and seen what's happened in those states, and I've seen people living under bridges. I've seen people, state health and safety officials saying it's not a good thing. Medical people say it's not a good thing, and I'm worried about our kids in our homes and such. You know, how can we monitor the recreational use of pot? That was my first question. I'm going to give you both questions so that
Okay, here we go.
And the second thing is, have you looked at the quasi-public agencies as a non-traditional source of income? I mean, we have over 14 quasi-public agencies that, you know, the Lottery Commission, all these different kinds of commissions and such, administered formerly they've been administered through DECD. Can you do something where we take some sort of an equity position in some of the products or the health surveys and pharmas that they're coming up with or something like that so that we can, because we're fronting the money for a lot of these agencies, but I think that the taxpayers of Connecticut ought to get something for it. So those are my two questions, and I thank you very much.
No, thank you, Linda.
Linda's been practicing.
Two good questions, I got to say. The first one, you go out to the West Coast, it's shocking. You know, hundreds of people in those shanty towns living under the bridges.
Colorado, Denver.
I would say it's not because they smoke legal pot. It's real mental health issues there, real affordable housing issues there, severe things that we're in much better shape on and still have a lot better place to go. And there's nothing worse than having a kid go to some dealer, and that's where you're going to get really dangerous stuff sold, and I got to avoid that.
Mix a little something in there, maybe?
Your bigger question or your other question was about these quasis.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, thank you for asking that question. I inherited a few problems, and one of them was the Port Authority. And they had some missteps there. But the concept of the quasi makes sense to me. Get folks from the private sector. Get folks from the outside who can sit around a board. First of all, I got to get more quality people there who know the space. We didn't always do that, say, in the case of the Port Authority.
Oh, yeah.
I got really good people. We moved. We made some changes there. Two, in terms of reporting, we got to make sure they report on a monthly basis. I've got Melissa McCarr, our OPM person, driving that hard. I'm going to make that uniform across all of our different quasis. And Linda, to your point, yeah, we ought to be making some money on these public-private partnerships. You know, we just announced the Port Authority deal out in New London, and there'll be about $2 million a year going to the Port Authority as part of the rental on that state pier when it's rebuilt.
Nice.
And that's money we don't necessarily have to pay into the Port Authority to keep things going. So we're looking to expand the role there. They're faster, they're more nimble. And, you know, things get pretty slow over at our big state agency. I like the idea of quasis as long as they work with transparency.
It's ironic that two of the bigger hot button topics that we've talked about today, the marijuana and the sports gambling, there is, I don't know if it's a sizable part of the constituency, but there's quite a few who are worried that they lead to some sort of addiction, either Gamblers Anonymous, gambling too much, or drug abuse. But that's... I mean, it's kind of the society we live in now.
We live in, you know, social media. That's pretty addictive.
Ray's gotten in big trouble on social media.
I find talk radio totally addictive.
I'm anti-social. Well,
there's pills for that. We can help you with that. Let's go to Brenda in Colebrook. This is a subject we have not talked about. Hi, Brenda. You're on with the governor.
Hi. Good morning. I'm going to just make my statement and then ask my question and hang up.
Okay.
First of all, I'll preface this with I'm Hispanic, Native American. I've lived in the inner city. I worked in every single city in Connecticut. I was in law enforcement nearly 25 years. For illegals, for every dollar they put in the economy, they take seven out. My question is, why aren't you doing something to eliminate sanctuary city status and clean up the cities? Because it's really easy to be liberal and live in Greenwich and Madison. It's not easy to be in the inner city and live there and be liberal.
Okay. Brenda, thanks for that.
Thanks, Brenda. Hey, look, we got folks who have been in this country for, you know, decades. They were dreamers. They came in at a very young age.
They
don't
have
a full document or brought in. You know, maybe you want me to ship them back. I don't think so. I mean, I think what I want to do is train them, make them good tax-paying residents of the state of Connecticut. And I think, you know, that'd be my priority. Look, when I was with the president down there at that dinner, he talked about, look, he's let's say he's pretty tough on illegal immigration, but then he was very eloquent on more illegal immigration based upon meritocracy, people with the skills necessary to come in. And I just said, well, why are you cutting back on H-1B visas? We want these people here. We want them, once they're educated down at UConn, we want them to be able to stay here and not have to go back to Bulgaria.
Did you have any one-on-one time? Did you have any one-on-one time with the president?
Yeah, probably 17 or 18 seconds.
Okay, there you go.
That's all we get with you. So it's
so we're tight. We're good.
Let's go to Bill in West Hartford at 8:50. Bill, you're on with Governor Lamont here on WTIC.
Hey, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call. It's actually two phases. The first part is I'd like to know if we're tolling trucks for the Highway Transportation Fund, why are we then moving that money to the rail funds and building new rail stations and not increasing the rail costs? And the second thing is, Governor, I'd like to know where you stand on supporting the bonding for the cleaning of the state capitol. The cleaning of the state capitol has been overdue for 14 years, and the bond package is about $20 million, and it needs to be done, and I'm hoping you'll make a commitment now publicly to do that this year.
Bill, are you talking about the building itself?
Yep, the building itself needs to be cleaned on the exterior. Okay. I sit on the Restoration Commission for the State Capitol, and it's been kicked down the road since 2007.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Well, second question first. I got to do a lot of work on that. I'm not as familiar with the cleanup plan for the State Capitol. I think the State Capitol is beautiful, but it should be beautiful, and we got to make sure it stays looking beautiful. So, Bill, if you've got some insights there from the committee, I'd like to hear that. Here's the deal. The $200 million a year, you're right, that's going to go to fix roads and bridges in need of in bad disrepair right now. But that also frees up other revenues, which we can use so we can go after the very low-cost railroad money. So that allows us to perhaps do something in some of those stations, More importantly, you can speed up rail. And if I can get 5-10 minutes off of each leg of the commute, time is precious, makes a big difference in people's lives.
Well, the one thing I'm thinking about, and if you drive through Hartford during rush hour, you know, the difference is trucks
are
slower.
You don't really drive through. You kind of like,
no, yeah, yeah, that's
you
right.
Like cruise.
You just hatch onto the guy in front of you, right, and they pull you. But no, I mean, the thing is, trucks travel. They can't accelerate as fast as cars can and all that. What if you took some of that traffic and put it on rail? You know, the truck traffic. I mean, it just seems to me you got two nice ports you could use.
Well,
containers.
The good thing on this Port Authority deal, I know it's a lot of your listener thing, but New London, you know, we're going to have rail that connects,
yes,
to the pier there. So maybe that does take some of those trucks off the road. Right now, it's easier for them just to go all the way down.
Exactly.
Pete Hess down there in Naugatuck, he's talking about an inland port. So rail goes all the way down to Naugatuck. Mm-hmm. And from there, you go trucks the rest of the way because there's just not enough rail capacity to get you into Midtown Manhattan.
You've been very bullish as far as improving the rail system. When you talk to the constituents, what are their thoughts on that?
I'm bullish on it because if I can get just 10% of those cars off the highway,
right,
I can speed things up and at 1/10 the price of expanding highway, right, capacity.
Oh, God, yes.
The business leaders in particular feel very strongly that this is key. And the other thing I like about the rail is it makes our city's transportation hubs again. So Hartford, you know, New Haven, Stamford, Bridgeport, Waterbury, you know, easier access to Waterbury just opens up the valley in a dramatic
God,
way.
Yes.
Mm, no, that would be a lot of people.
No, everybody loves the idea. It's just
like that.
Everybody wants to pay for it.
Well, that's right.
I can see that. Here's Dwight in Ellington on line two. Dwight,
okay,
you're on with Governor Lamont at 8:54.
Hey, Dwight.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I was just wondering why we the people cannot have a voice on this toll issue. It seems to me there's quite a few people in the state that are opposed to it. Why can't we put this to a vote to the public?
Oh, a referendum.
And let the public vote on it.
I'll just do it based upon a referendum. Well, I guess some would argue that we have elections every 2 years, so that's like a referendum. And some people are saying, look, tolls and the rainy day fund will be on the ballot next November. And the Democrats will say, I think taking money from the rainy day fund was the wrong way to go. And the Republicans will say, you know, putting a toll on tractor trailers is not the right way to go. And so you do have a referendum in that sense.
So you're picking who's going to represent you. And if that person is for tolls, well, you can vote against them or you can vote for them.
If that's the biggest issue of the day for you, yes.
As long as they keep their promise.
Let me give you a question, Governor, from Twitter, which could be dangerous, but this seems like a good one. How many of the surrounding states that have tolls have administrators that divert money before it gets to their state's lockbox? Do you know of any of those?
I think they're all similar to the situation we have where that money's got to go specifically to the you know, bridge or highway in need.
Okay. We have 5 minutes left for you to get in and talk to the governor. Brian Shackman's in for Will after the 9 o'clock news. Let's go to Robert in Torrington. Robert, you're on with Governor Lamont.
Yeah, good morning, Governor.
Hey, Robert.
I just want to say I think you're doing a great job and everybody's giving you an unfair shake. I just traveled to Queens, New York to drop off my niece in college. And I traveled in a car, and my toll was $20.75 round trip on the RFK Bridge. Now, the people here in Connecticut are crying because you're going to put in a truck toll that might raise a bag of chips for me, let's say a nickel or even less, when I got to go to the store to buy it because they passed the cost on.
Right.
But I live in Torrington with a Republican-controlled mayor and council, and my house taxes per year on a raised ranch are like $5,200 a year. I think, Governor, if you message this correctly, the people should be more outraged what they got to pay in their property tax instead of a stupid couple penny toll that out-of-state truckers that damage the roads will pay. And I think you're doing a good job, Governor. And you did say when you were running for election you're going to put in tolls. So how could people say you're lying? I think you're doing a good job and keep it up.
Thanks,
Robert. Thanks, Robert. Look, what you said in terms of the property tax is so true. It is a fixed tax. You can have a good year. You can have a bad year. You're still getting hammered on the property tax. You can be on a fixed income. You're a senior. You're still getting hammered on the property tax. And I wish I could do more. What we did do was we fully funded education. And what that meant was rather than shortchanging that and then mayors would jack up your property tax, they had no excuse, at least in the grounds of education, to raise property taxes at all. And we gave some very selective rebates to volunteer public responders and vets right. and things like that, just to show that we're trying to make that effort. And broadly speaking, I didn't want to raise tax rates on anybody, and we held the line there.
Well, and you know, the thing is, and Joe, you know this, you've been here all your life, but, you know, when I first got back in 92, that's all people were talking about. It's been a topic in every election since then. And, you know, Joe brought this up a moment ago. You know, for example, the casino money was supposed to help alleviate taxes, okay, property tax, which is deadly, and your point is well taken. The other was, well, what else was? The lottery was lottery. Supposed to help on
right.
that.
Education fund.
Because that's a big expense in any town. So, you know, we've dealt with this forever, and yet nothing happens.
On the lottery, we got a bill out there to get to the iLottery, the internet lottery. Makes this a lot more effective, and that would raise a little bit of money, and that's how we're paying for the community college debt-free program.
Oh, good. Okay.
Let's take another call from Weathersfield. Here's Mark. Mark, you're on with Governor Lamont.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for coming on.
Quick question. Dan Mulally implemented a policy 3 years ago that would allow employees, if they didn't have a 401k in their business, to they were actually mandated. I guess the small business was mandated to set up some sort of a program where the employee actually had to opt out if they didn't want to participate. And the state was going to then take a certain percentage of the employee's pay and put it into some kind of a, let's call it an IRA or a 401k. Mary Fay was heading that program. She's been dismissed, and the program, I think, has failed. I, as a small businessman, was never in favor of this. I think an employee can simply go to a bank if they want to open a 401k and, you know, put their money there rather than giving it to the state to try to run. Can you tell me what has happened to this agency and any employees or companies that are involved with it? What's going to happen with that program?
Yeah, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
No, thanks for that question. No, you're absolutely right. We are trying to give folks an incentive to save more in their own 401k, defined contribution. They set up a retirement board, what, 3-4 years ago. It didn't work. I mean, they didn't do it right. And it sat there and festered. We've moved it over to the controller's office under Kevin Limbo. So we're going to take care of this and fix it. And, you know, nobody has to take advantage of the 401k, but it just
you
gives
can.
Them. But you can, and we're making it easier, and most importantly, we're going to make it much less expensive for people to do it. I mean, you go to one of the big brokerage houses, fees could eat you alive.
Yeah,
we've got a better deal than that on a voluntary basis.
One quick question, because we've got to get out of here, from Twitter. What's the issues with UConn Health? Is that going to be bought off?
The issues with UConn Health is that it's costing the state hundreds of millions of dollars every year.
Right.
And it's, again, one of these things that has sat for a long time. Most of that, Joe, is related to the old legacy costs, not paying back for pensions. So I got to figure out how to handle that piece of the debt. And then we can find a really strong partner to team with UConn Health.
Yeah, because I remember Hartford Hospital was trying to do a merge with them, okay? Because Dan Hogan, who was the president of the school at the time, wanted to unload it, okay? But the problem was they couldn't make it work with what the salaries are being paid out of Dempsey and elsewhere. So they couldn't do it. So that's got to be addressed. I don't want anybody to get a pay cut, but I'm just saying. It's a problem.
Yeah. That's you can talk. But John can wait. He's willing to wait. If you'd like to answer that question,
hey, John. He gets the rest of the morning off.
Exactly.
No, it's I'm going to address that. I'm working with the folks over at the hospital right now. I'm working with our folks over at OPM. I mean, I cannot just keep shoveling hundreds of millions of dollars. This is a gem, UConn Health. It's an amazing facility.
It is
some of the best resources, you know, in the country there. Yeah. And I've got to somehow fix that wound. We got that's costing us so much and distracting from what they're trying to do.
Second best dental school in the world.
There you go.
Finally, do you want to tell the world what you got, Annie, for Valentine's Day? You want to keep that secret?
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Yeah.
No, come on. Shaming me.
Come on.
You still haven't got, you still don't have anything yet, do you? You still haven't gotten her anything yet, have you? I can tell.
Wish this was
trust
TV.
Me, I've been in that boat. Been there, done that. So, Governor, thank
look,
you as
bro.
Always for coming in. We always appreciate
thanks, guys.
It.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you
again
next month. That's Governor Ned Lamont. Thank you for listening. Thanks to everybody for their help with the show today. Brian Shackman in for Will Marotti after John's news here at the top of the hour.
See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.